So tonight, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Yoda for a minute. Yoda isn't your typical superhero. You know, he's not like big and muscular and dark and dashing and handsome. And he doesn't even talk real charmingly. But he's green. And he's an unknown creature and he's pretty cool. So the main thing about Yoda that makes him a hero is that he has the heart of a hero. Yoda had it right when he focused on the heart and on the mind. What do I mean by the mind? Yoda was a Jedi Master. Do you know what a Jedi Master is?
Yes.
Well, I did a little research because I was a little, you know, vague on the term Jedi Master. But basically, a Jedi Master is a monastic organization. Well, not the master, a Jedi is part of a monastic organization. What's monastic? That is a monk lifestyle. So he devoted his life to seclusion and dedication to the greater good. So he devoted everything to knowledge, to peace, and he would study and serve and use the force within, to fight good, well, not good, to use good to fight evil. So he was bound by code of ethics, a moral standard. You can kind of see a similarity in Christianity where we have a life secluded to something we believe in, and then we use that power within to conquer the evil on the outside. Are you tracking with me here? Okay. So Yoda trained up who? Luke Skywalker. Thank you very much. And so Luke would be equipped to fight the dark side. So Yoda emphasized a few very important things. Not following the dark side, which is a very good thing to not do. And he identified the dark side as something that was very appealing. It does entice and tempt, but he was training up Luke Skywalker to resist the dark side and to fight against it. And then the other one is you must look to the force within, which is the goodness on the inside of you to help and equip you to fight what's around you. So those two main things are what his, the theme was, I guess you could say, of Yoda was dark versus good and wisdom and knowledge. And so tonight I'm going to compare a little bit of Star Wars here in a very creative way to heaven and hell on earth. The difference between the good and the evil in Star Wars and the difference between heaven and hell that is a continual battle that we have on earth. Now, wisdom was the number one thing that marked Yoda. Now, you would say, is that really like a superhero strength? That was the greatest quality that characterized Yoda was his wisdom and knowledge, and that's how he was able to train Luke Skywalker to do what he was able to do. So, can anyone tell me... Rain. Can anyone tell me who in the Bible is known for wisdom? Katie. Solomon. Taste the rainbow. There you go. Yes, Solomon. There'll be more opportunities. Well, not maybe to taste the rainbow, but to taste other things. Okay. So Solomon was known as the wisest man that ever lived. Can anyone tell me something about Solomon? What do you know about Solomon? Reagan?
When God asked him for what he wanted, when he was about to be king, he asked for wisdom instead of riches.
Yes, when God said, Solomon, out of anything that I could give you, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom. Very good. What else do you know about Solomon? Is that all we know? He's a wise dude? Jacob? Son of King David, yes, he was an heir to the throne, and he was the third king of Israel. Isaac.
Although he was the wisest man in the Bible, he still had trouble with women, so he had many wives.
Yes. Yes, maybe even 1,000, I think I read. If you didn't hear him... Despite how wise and infinite his knowledge was, he still had a weakness, and that was women, which eventually... Oh, whoa. David for the sneak attack. Dylan, what else?
Well, he sorted out the baby issue with the women.
He did. Tell.
Instead of having the baby, butchered, he gave it to the woman. I think I need to reread that story.
Yes, I think you might want to reread that story. Can you tell me something else about him?
Well,
do you know what books he wrote?
Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Proverbs.
Some is Proverbs. Yes, sir. There you go. Yay. All right. Well, like most of you said, David was the father of Solomon. Solomon was an heir to his throne, so then he became the third king of Israel. He did write Ecclesiastes, songs, well, they call it Songs of Songs or Songs of Solomon, and he wrote some Proverbs and some Psalms. He also built God's temple in Jerusalem. He was known as a diplomat, a trader, trader as in trading goods, not a traitor, not a traitor. And then he was also a collector and patron of art. So he was an artsy kind of dude, I guess. So the main thing I wanted to focus on was that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Who do you think gave Solomon wisdom?
God.
Brilliant. Can someone tell me, what is wisdom? It sounds like such a high and lofty word, but boil it down for me. Simple terms. David.
She's a woman in Proverbs.
Yes. Yes, she is. Wisdom will come knocking at your door. Is that what we're referencing here?
No.
She cries in the streets. Oh, yeah. The one that knocks on the door is not wisdom. Sorry. Wrong one. Wrong woman. Dylan.
The knowledge of
the knowledge between good and evil, that is correct. Wisdom boils down in simplest terms to knowledge. It is an understanding of what real truth is. So if there's real truth, there's going to be false and lies, correct? And then like Dylan said, it's knowing the difference between right and wrong, what is good and what is bad. So when we talk about wisdom, I know sometimes it sounds like this big spiritual word, but really wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing what truth is. It's having understanding about something. An antonym, aka the opposite of wisdom, is ignorance and stupidity. So that can show you the importance of wisdom, because if you don't have wisdom, you have stupidity. So tonight, I want to talk to you about how to have wisdom and understanding so that you don't have the opposite. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Turn to 1 Kings 3, 5.
Woo-hoo!
Now, I'm going to read you just a little bit of passage here to give you the background. You guys, Reagan had mentioned that wisdom was the one thing Solomon asked for. So this is the passage that describes that. Verse 5. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? And I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And there I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot even be counted. So give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by myself is able to govern these people of yours?" The Lord was pleased with Solomon that he had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom and governed my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else that has ever had or ever will have." So, out of everything he could ask for, he asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for a brand new chariot. He didn't ask for a giant temple. He didn't ask for the 700 wives that we mentioned. They just came. He didn't ask for all of these material things that you can imagine. He asked for wisdom. Now, why would you think someone would want wisdom above anything else? What? What? They can choose what to do and know how to do it. Yes, correct. David, did you have something? You forgot. Okay. Well, you keep thinking. In some, oh, Keely. Yes. He needed help with something. So if you don't know how to do something, it's probably a good idea to find out how, possibly. Yes. And could you imagine being, it says, I feel like I'm just a child and now I'm in charge of this nation. Could you imagine you right now being told you are president of the United States? You're like, I can't imagine. But forget about the cook that comes with it. Forget about the huge house. Forget about the spotlight on TV. Just think about the decisions that you would have to make as the leader of the country. A lot of responsibility comes with that, which is why you have to be a certain age to even run for president. So I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying wait. So a reason you might want to know what to do or how to do it is because if you don't have knowledge of something, you're going to be trying to do things and never get the most out of it. You will have thoughts and ideas and desires, but if you don't know how, you're not going to be able to fulfill what you want to do. And so let me give you a few examples that you need wisdom first for. Let's say that when you were 14, your parents said, I want to give you a brand new car. That's awesome. That is great. 2 years early. But that car is going to sit in that driveway. And if you do take it out, that's a bad idea. That's not wisdom. So now you have this car, but you don't have the wisdom, the understanding, the insight to operate that vehicle. So now you have something that you don't even know what to do with. I mean, you could kind of imagine what to do with it. But as soon as you get out of the driveway and start experimenting with your own choices, there's going to be a few people that might stop you. And then the stupidity might kick in, and you can finish the rest of the story. So, wisdom would be important to operate a vehicle, yes?
Yes.
Okay, why do you need to go to school?
To learn.
To learn. Why do you need to learn?
So
you don't make the same mistakes that people have made. Yes? What? Because they made you. So today you'd be done with school if you could.
Yeah.
Or summer. Okay. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're a surgeon. I personally would not want you to operate on me without going through a series of classes and training before you're handed a scalpel and my body. Are you tracking with me here? It's kind of important to be trained and equipped to do the job of a surgeon. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Another profession that came to mind today was an electrician. Let's just say I wanted to reposition these lights. I wouldn't just go up there with scissors and start cutting things because bad things would happen, correct? So, electrician isn't just someone who decides they want to work with lights and starts moving things around. They're someone who goes through specific training and learns skills to operate electricity, right? So, it is a good idea to get education. It is a good idea to learn. Now, I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it said, well, there you go, another day I didn't use algebra. And I'm not going to debate the importance of algebra right now because I can't remember the last time I used it. But I wanted to point something out to you. A couple years ago, we went on an outreach. Is Nadez done here? Where are you? She stepped out. Okay. A couple years ago, we went on an outreach for Halloween, and we went door to door collecting cans instead of candy. And as we were walking from house to house, there were these girls on the lawn, and Nadezda thought, I'm just going to go say hi. So she walked up to them and just said, hey, how are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, not good. And she's like, well, what's going on? They're like, algebra. We hate it. It is so hard and difficult, and we can't even do this math problem, and we're stuck. And she's like, hey, well, I'm taking algebra too. Ooh. I'm taking algebra too. Maybe I can help you. And so she proceeds to help these girls that she just met, trick-or-treating, for lack of better words, with their algebra homework. Now, you would think, well, she's not going to use algebra the rest of her life, By knowing algebra, that was a tool for her to be able to help someone else. And so sometimes you're going to learn things or have to take a class or find out about something that you don't think is pertinent to your life or you don't think is useful by any stretch of the imagination. But have you ever stopped to wonder that maybe, just maybe, everything that you learn and acquire knowledge for isn't just for you? It's for other people. We hear a lot, my motivation for accumulation is distribution. Basically, I get things so I can give things. This isn't just money. This isn't just clothing. This isn't just our spiritual wisdom and knowledge. But she was able to use what she learned in class that day and help a girl who she didn't know on Halloween night sitting on a lawn somewhere struggling with her homework. And you're like, well, what's the eternal impact of that? She was able to minister to someone by helping them when I don't think anyone else stopped that night to help her with her homework. And so she was able to say, why did you stop and help me? And she just kind of gave a brief summary of what we were doing that night. And she was able to minister to that girl. And so sometimes you are going to have to take classes. You are going to have to learn some things that you think are pointless, are a waste of time. But don't always think that because you don't think it's useful or because you think it's a waste of your time, that it might not be something that someone else needs to know down the road. Have you ever heard a message where you're sitting there and you're like, this doesn't even pertain to me? I'm not really at that place right now. But then a few weeks, months might pass, and you're finding someone in a difficult situation. You're able to use what you learn to help that person out. And so that's a lot of what wisdom is there's going to be things that you're going to learn throughout your life that you're going to acquire knowledge for, and it may not be for your career. It may not be for your immediate use. But it's something to continually acquire because it's going to be put to use. There is a purpose for everything. And just like Sherry Nadezda helping someone with algebra on a Halloween outreach, she was probably equally as frustrated with algebra. I know I've been equally as frustrated with algebra. I got A's on math tests, but do you know how long I studied for those things? Meanwhile, some of my friends were just those natural geniuses, and their dads were doctors. I don't know if it's genetics or what, but they would just show up to class, and I think they even were smoking stuff, and somehow they managed to bypass me on tests. They would even cheat on my tests and do better than me. And I thought, how is this possible? You are cheating by looking at my stuff, and you're getting better grades than me. Well, I studied. I found out what wisdom was. I learned what truth was. I learned my material. And I didn't cheat and then pray for a good grade. I did what was right and believed for a good grade. Sometimes you can take the wrong path and then pray, well, since I followed this path, Lord, just make it right. No, making it right is changing your actions and your decisions to make it right. And then he can bless you. Amen? And like Isaac had said, no matter how wise you are, you need to be on alert. And you need to be on guard because the enemy will try to find an open door in your life. He will try to find something to tempt you, to distract you from your mission. An example would be effective leadership can be destroyed by ineffective personal life. What do I mean by that? You can have all this fame and power and an awesome title, but if your personal life isn't lining up with that life, it's going to destroy itself. An example that Isaac gave was Solomon's problem with women. We'll just leave it at that. Just like his father David, Solomon had relationship issues. He had temptation, and he fell into that temptation and had hundreds of wives. And it wasn't, and back then, you know, I guess that was okay, but they weren't all loving and healthy relationships. It was those relationships that would destroy some areas of his life because he gave into those temptations instead of keeping his eyes focus, eye contact, on the right thing. And so his leadership was affected by his personal decisions. And so we can try to compartmentalize our life. This is school, and this is church, and this is home, and this is friends. But if you're not consistent in all of those areas, eventually it's going to collide, and they will affect each other. Your decisions in one area is a direct effect on another area. And I know some people who told me how they've had like those, I don't want to say, well, not multi-personality, but they would have be one way with one group at church, and then they'd have a completely different personal life. And eventually those two paths would cross, and each person in both of those lives found out who that true person was. And now the people who were in his Christian life didn't trust him because they realized what he was really doing. And the people who were in his secular lifestyle thought he was a hypocrite, so why would they want to become a Christian? Because this is what he was really doing. And so that those two lives, for many years, he was able to disconnect. And actually, Pastor Greg, he was telling me about this when he was younger, how he was real good at just kind of maneuvering through things. But eventually he realized, I can't keep doing this. I can't have two different ways of living my life. I have to live one way of life. And so it's important when you have these positions of leadership, when you have fame, when you have money, that you are using the same principles in one area of your life as you are the other area of your life. Otherwise, they may start to destroy each other. And I know that's not real exciting and positive, but it's important to know that when everything seems to be going good and everything seems to be going great, that you do guard yourself, that you do find out where there's open doors to the enemy, because he's going to try to come in and he's going to try to destroy and take whatever you've acquired. And for Solomon, it was wisdom. And at that point, he gained everything else with it. So if he was to lose his wisdom or he was to not use it correctly, he's going to lose his fame. He's going to lose his riches. And so everything is a domino effect. And so it's important to understand, what is wisdom? How can I obtain it? How can I keep it? And just like Solomon, you have the ability to have that wisdom. It says he was the wisest man that ever lived, but God gave him that wisdom. It wasn't anything in his own might. It wasn't anything in his own power. It was God speaking to him, giving to him what he needed. It says in Job 12:13, but true wisdom and power are found in God. Counsel and understanding are his. And so the real truth, the real power, the world is hungry for truth and knowledge. The world is hungry for power. The truth to all of that lies in God, that he's the counselor. He's the one that has more understanding than anyone on our planet. And it's his to give. He's not just saying, hey, look, I got everything. Try to figure it out. He's like, I want to give it to you. How do you get it? It says James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask. Ask. You have not because you ask not. If you don't ask for something, you're not going to get it. How many of you have, like, just wish someone would read your mind sometimes? You know, like, couldn't you just get this? Like, you would know me well enough that we should just be, you know, connected to each other, right? It's not always going to happen that way. The Lord knows what you need. We read it in the Bible, too. It says, I know what you need before you even know that you need it. But you have to ask me for it. You need to come to me and say, Lord, give me this. Heal me. Help me. Ever seen someone who needs help, but they won't ask you, you try to help them? They're like, no, I got it. I got it. You can't really help someone who doesn't want help. So the Lord needs you to ask him, and that opens the door for him to be able to give you the help, to give you the answers that you're looking for. Another way of getting it, true wisdom does come from God, but how do you actually get it? Just like I referenced up top in John 8:31, it says, abide in my word. Read this. Spend time in it. Don't just only go to it when you need to know something, and you go to the glossary in the back, and it says alcohol. Am I allowed to drink? Hold on, let me flip to it. There's nothing in here about being 21, okay? But there is a verse that says, obey the laws of the land. So, the laws of the land say, how old do you have to be to drink?
21.
So you don't have to find out if you're allowed to drink in here. You just find out what the Lord's told you about obeying his word, and it says to follow the laws of the land. So you know that until you're 21, it's not even a discussion. Yeah, maybe, kind of, okay. I can give you a few other examples. But with this thing called the book, his word, the Bible, this is truth. This is where all your answers are. This will give you everything you need. So it says, abide in my word. It doesn't say just look this up when you need a quick answer. It says abide in it, so then when you need an answer, you already know it. You have it. Another way of getting it, turn with me to Romans 8:34. It says, who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to new life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Other translations say interceding. Big word, interceding. Break it down, to act on one's behalf. So the Lord is acting on your behalf. He is an intercessor for you. There's some religions that say you can't go directly to the Lord. There's some religions you have to pray to saints. You have to pray to dead people. And then they'll talk to the Lord for you. But in this word, it says he's at the right hand pleading for you. You can go directly to him with any request, and he's listening to you. He's there to act on your behalf, intercede. There's nothing between you and the Lord. Other religions, other people who don't even believe in God say that you can't connect with him. There's no way to connect with him. And he's saying, I'm right here. All you have to do is talk to me. All you have to do is ask and I will answer. I am right there. And so you can go to his word and you can read it. You can open your mouth and you can speak it. And he's right there, ready to dialogue with you, to give you the answers you need. The other one is the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 14. Verse 24. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. Another way of obtaining wisdom and knowledge is the Holy Spirit. Now, the world doesn't understand our knowledge because they're not connected with him. But the day that you accept Jesus into your life, the day that you make him Lord of your life, he gives you the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And that Holy Spirit gives you direction. Even when you don't ask for it, if you're doing something wrong and you get that funny feeling inside, that scratchy, this doesn't feel right feeling, that's the Holy Spirit red flag saying, stop, don't do that, don't touch that, don't go there. And it's not even necessarily a verbal communication. It's a constant connection with the Holy Spirit telling you what to do and where to go and how to get there. And so the Holy Spirit is another way that the Lord communicates with you. It's another way. It says, I will leave you, but I will not leave you alone. I'll leave you with someone who will be with you at all times. And so to get wisdom, you have this book. You have Jesus when you accept him into your life. He is always with you. And because he left you with his Holy Spirit to talk to you, to counsel you. It says the Holy Spirit is our counselor, our guider. He tells us where to go, how to get there. I've heard Pastor Greg talk about how there was a storm coming through and he went one way instead of another way and he found out right where he would have gone, the tornado went right through. But because he chose to go the other way, there was protection in that. We could say, why didn't the Lord just stop the tornado? The Lord told him not to take that road. And so he protected him because he obeyed him. And so there's going to be times in your life where you don't even make sense. Like, why would I go that way? There's two train tracks. That means two possibilities of being stopped. There's a red light that hardly ever turns green. Why would I go that way? Because I told you to. Sometimes you don't have to ask why. Just do it. And you're going to find out why later. And sometimes you may never find out why, but I'd much rather never find out why and be safe and protected than to ask why, do the opposite, and then have consequences. And so the Lord's always speaking. He's always talking. He's always trying to tell you the answers that you're asking for, but are you being quiet enough to listen? Are you being calm? Are you giving him an ear? Are you giving him your time to find out what that answer is? Another way to get wisdom, and this will go over real big with you guys, wisdom sounds like your parents. Have you ever... Have you ever wondered, what does God sound like? It sounds like your dad when he told you not to drive the car before you're 16. It sounds like your mom that told you to go change your clothes because they weren't appropriate for school. It sounds like your dad telling you, don't date that guy. He's not right for you. Oh, Dad, what do you know? He's so sweet. Did you see the text he sent me the other night? Yes, I sent that same text when I was his age. And do you know what my intentions were? Your parents know right from wrong. And some of you might say, well, my parents aren't even saved. It says, honor your mother and father that it will go well with you. So unless your parents are telling you to do something illegal, you obey them. And if they're telling you to do something illegal, you can talk to me. And we'll deal with it. So that's the only disclaimer, not to listen or to do what your parents say. If they throw weed in your face and say, here, smoke this, say no. It's okay to say no. But unless that's the thing that you're being told to do, something illegal, to harm someone else, to harm yourself, you listen to mom and dad. You better believe I wish I listened to dad when I was 18. Well, you're 18, you can make your own decisions. Yeah, and I was making the wrong ones. Dad told me not to date Chris. I dated Chris. Chris was a bad idea. Bad things happened by dating Chris. I spent 2 years after that still trying to get myself put back together again because Chris was a bad idea. He's not going to listen to this, I promise. He has no idea where I am. I won't give you a last name. Chris and I were like best friends, literally best friends. And one day I woke up and was like, oh, I like Chris. I'm 18. Chris says he loves the Lord. I mean, that's all you need in a relationship, right? You love the Lord. So let's get together. Chris can say whatever he wants to get with Jen, and he did. And then Chris didn't say anything right after that, and that's why Jen had to exit the relationship. But mom and dad knew what was right. And you better believe that at 18, I wish they would have locked me in my room and told me no. But they said, we've trained you to hear the voice of the Lord. We don't agree. We don't think this is the voice of the Lord. But we're going to walk you through it. So we had this open communication that, I mean, it was open communication. And ever heard of the lie of omission? Like, I didn't not tell you, but you didn't ask me. Yeah, that's still lying to your parents. If you're doing what they told you not to, you just aren't telling them about it. Just wanted to let you know that, just free. But wisdom told me not to date Chris. Wisdom told me to obey my dad, but I had feelings for him. He's so cute. He's my best friend. He wouldn't do anything to harm me. Wisdom, listen to it. Even when you have these feelings, you're like, but I have this feeling. Don't go by your feelings. Go by this. If you feel like doing something, but this says not to, it doesn't matter what you're feeling, you do this. And I'll just stop there because that could be a whole nother message. But wisdom sounds like your parents. Proverbs 15:8, accepting correction is wise. It doesn't say it's fun, but it says it's wise. So accepting correction is smart. What did we learn the opposite of wisdom is? Stupid. Rejecting correction is stupid. That's how you can read that. Opposite of that scripture. Accepting correction is wise. That doesn't just mean your parents. That means authority figures placed in your life. That means the teachers, the coaches, the leaders that are placed over you. Accepting their correction is using your wisdom. You have the same access that Solomon had. Turn to Proverbs 2:11. It's my last scripture.
Proverbs
2:11. Band, if you could come up, please. It is raining, and we're safe in here. All right, Proverbs 2:11. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasure. So right here it's talking about wisdom is more important than gold. Wisdom is more important than money. But if you have wisdom, you'll probably know how to get gold. You'll know how to get power. It goes on to say, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain the knowledge of God. How many of you want to know what God knows? For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So he's talking, but are you listening? He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. Sometimes common sense isn't so common. But right here it says that he will give it to you. It's a good thing to have. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Integrity, big word. What does that mean? What's right? What's honest? What's true? He guards the path of the just, and he protects those who are faithful to him. So he'll protect you. He'll guard you. He'll keep you safe. The tornado warnings that are out there, no big deal, because he's guarding you. Yes, there's a tornado warning today, but we're safe. Okay, moving right on. It says, then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Any of you wondering what you're supposed to do with your life? How you're supposed to get there? What do you want to do? Well, I know what I want to do, but how do I do it? It says, the Lord will show you which way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Do you want joy? Yes, me too. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Doing the right thing is going to keep you safe. Having understanding is going to give you the knowledge that you need. Gaining wisdom, what this scripture just describes to you, is the most important thing you could ever try to obtain. Because until you have it, you're not going to be completely effective in what you're trying to do. You make decisions every day. Some seem more important than others. But every choice will either point you in the right direction or take you in the wrong direction. And it'll start that domino effect. One decision leads to another decision leads to another decision. But when you have wisdom, it's pointing you in the right direction. Good things will continue to happen to you because you're making good decisions. I remember in that video clip, it says Luke Skywalker said, or asked Yoda, how will I know good side from bad side? Yoda replied, you will know when you're calm and at peace. With every eye closed and every head bowed, as I was praying over you guys today and looking at the scriptures and reading, the Lord was showing me that some of you are not at peace. Some of you are not calm on the inside. You're still struggling with knowing right from wrong. Or you do know right from wrong, but you're not making the decisions that are right. You rely on your own understanding instead of God, and then you ask, why? And the Lord's saying, I want to help you, but you just need to ask him. And so I never want to go a service without giving someone a chance to make the wisest decision that you'll ever make, and that's making the Lord, Lord of your life. That's allowing him entry into your heart to help you with wisdom, to give you those ways. So if you've been struggling with the right and wrong, if you've struggled with doing it your way versus God's way, the Lord's saying, I want to help you. I want to give you answers. I want to set you on the right path, but I need you to ask. And so if that's you today, no one's looking. I've asked everyone to close their eyes. If you raise your hand so that I can see you and I can pray with you, the Lord wants to help you. He wants to set you on the right path so that you stay there and you continue on it. So if everyone would pray with me, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be Lord of my life. I confess Jesus is Lord, and I believe that he raised from the dead. Thank you for making me new and giving me a fresh start with you. Now, keeping your head bowed, all of us can use more wisdom and understanding, but there's some of you in here who are struggling with it. You're struggling with peer pressure. You're struggling with bad choices. You're having a hard time in school, or you just want to know the truth of the situation. Why did my parents break up? Why did this happen? Why did grandma die? The Lord wants to give you the answers that you're searching for, but all you have to do is ask. And so if that's you, no one's looking, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. The Lord wants to give you those answers. He wants to encourage you. Now, if everyone would look up at me, the scripture the Lord gave me today, Proverbs 3:5, it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Sometimes it makes sense up here, but it's not what he's telling us to do. And so you have to learn to not lean on what you feel, lean on what makes sense, but to lean on what's true, to lean on to what's right, to what he's saying, even if you don't see how that could ever happen. And so this week, as you're spending time with him, or maybe you haven't spent time with him, getting this, even if it's sitting down in your bed, playing some worship music and just saying, Lord, I need to hear from you right now. I need to know that you love me. I need to know that you're real. Give me the answer in this situation. It says, abide in me and I will abide in you. And so this week, I just encourage you. It starts with a relationship, spending time with him. And sometimes he may not give you the answer until you're driving in your car, you're sitting at school eating lunch, or you're talking with a friend and the light bulb goes off. That's it. That's what I've been looking for. So be looking for the answers. Don't just say, I'm sitting here, I gave him 5 minutes and I didn't hear his voice. Keep your eyes always open, your ears listening, because he's always talking. He wants to give you everything that you're asking for, but it's a two-way street. Communication's a two-way street. He wants to know that you want to hear from him. Amen? Amen.